80. Right now, clear 63 in Jacksonville at Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty, taking my show back here for just a couple of minutes. Jerry Holland jumping in with us. We went down all the amendments. I noticed you were just sitting over there shivering, just scared. I mean, just can't.
I was terrified.
I understand. Now you're just munching on donuts.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to jump into the, now I'm going to give this codicil for both of the folks that are here in the studio. None of us are promoting, Karen can, the Republican ticket.
Right.
But the other two of us, Jerry or myself, we're not promoting any of these candidates. We're going to talk about high points and low points and let you make the decision from there. I've had a couple of comments. Victoria Bear out there listening tonight. Welcome, Victoria. Thank you. She made a very insightful statement, and that is that elected people, as opposed to appointed people have no responsibility to the people, only to those that appointed them, and it can get a little hinky, and I have a tendency to agree with her. I do like, as you do, Jerry, the idea of having appointed people. Let's start at the very top and work down from there. Rick Scott as opposed to Bill Nelson. Obviously, Karen, we don't even have to go to you for that.
That one's a no-brainer. It's the difference between dynamic leadership and watching paint dry.
Well, and I've got to admit that back in 1981, I had an opportunity to interact with, back at that time, Congressman Bill Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
I flew him quite a bit. I was friends with his personal assistant. He was a statesman-type individual there, wasn't really in, as far as I was concerned, I wasn't thinking about Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like he was an all right, nice guy. Recently, within the last 2 weeks, I saw him at the Tallahassee Airport trying to catch a ride on a plane back to his home in Orlando. He mm-hmm. has aged terribly.
Well, yeah, at least.
Politics has not been good for him. Maybe financially good, but certainly not health-wise. Jerry, your opinion on term limits, and Governor Scott, possibly Senator Scott, is in favor of term limits, but those people that could enact those term limits are the ones we're trying to term limit. So it's kind of like setting, you know, planning for your own funeral, and I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime.
But you know what's interesting? Term limits, and I'm under term limits, and I'll have people come to me and say, boy, I wish you would have stayed at supervisor elections. I believe in your case, it should have been, it should have been better if you could have stayed, that kind of thing. But most people want term limits for the person they can't vote for. You know, like we want Pelosi out. We want this from a Republican standpoint. Well, we can't vote for her, so term limits would eliminate somebody.
Right.
You know, and that happens a lot. You know, that's the only control we have over another position is term limits. And so, but I think really the question is sometimes how many years? There is no doubt in some positions, let's start at the top, as president, the power of a position, if it was not term limited, would be, if you go back to even Roosevelt and prior, would be so powerful. In fact, what really ended many presidencies was not term limits. It was really the age and the health condition of the person in the office.
Right.
You know, but so there is, I think, executive positions that you need term limits. And I think on some of those, 8 may be enough. On others, the question is really, I don't know if 8 applies to everything. In other words, do I want in Congress for it to be 8 years? Because quite honestly, if you look at how long it takes to get into leadership and stuff like that, you know, I'd love to see it change to where it was 16 years instead of someone being there 30 or 40 years, you know, something of that nature. In the same way, the position I'm in, probably 12 years, you know, 16 years is what Orange County in Orlando has, you know, is probably different. Things that I would love to change if it was a world according to Jerry is, you know, the legislature, both the Congress representatives as well as state, running every 2 years. You know, there was a reason for
They spend all their time running.
Yeah, you're always running. And you know what? There's a different mindset of everything when you're always running. But, you know, it was originally put in because a guy had to leave his farm to go serve in Washington. And they lived in Washington the entire 2 years. We got them, you know, now they fly back on the weekends. There, you know, you go back 50 years ago and they weren't flying back on the weekends. So the world has changed a little bit. That would be something else that changed. But term limits, I think we need to look at. I think it's got a place in government, but not necessarily 8 years fits all positions.
Let's take a phone call real quick from George. George, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Yeah, good evening. Jerry, who made the decision to put the voting booths on the university campuses, which severely favor one party over the other? I mean, if I were, you know, if it were a different situation, I would say it's not the Republicans, it would be the Democrats who are being discriminated against. But this is Republican discrimination, and I think that every single voter on those campuses should have at least a list of five or six successes by both parties or what they're going
to
do.
Well, to answer your question.
Thank you, George.
George, just to let you know, to answer your question, the decision has to be made by the supervisor of elections and by the university in which he's going to. They have to be able, you know, to say, yes, we've got a place.
But that's happening here in Jacksonville now.
Happened in Jacksonville. There was a lot of pressure.
Did Mike
put on,
change parties?
No, but Mike had a lot of pressure from the Democratic council members. It was one of those situations where sometimes what you need is facts to prove that those are not good early voting sites, which you'll see that by the statistics and how much it's costing them, about $20,000 per site.
My understanding was that not that many students were using the early voting because most of our university students are out-of-state students who have come here to study.
Some are that way. And also at EWC, Edward Waters College, it's actually a precinct.
Right. It was my precinct, actually.
Yeah.
It was my precinct.
So for the students who actually live there on campus, they can still vote their election day. We see this in many times of moves where one party sees it as an advantage. And obviously the Democrats believe that with the younger voters voting, it's an advantage to them. They want the site there. I think what you'll see in the future is there'll be an argument over it come the next budget time as whether or not it's justified by how much is spent. You try to make, you know, as supervisor of elections, you're trying not to play partisan politics. But what you're trying to make sure is everyone's got a shot, that someone's not limiting one party or even promoting one party more than the other party. Mm-hmm. That's the key. And that's let me tell you, it's a tough job for Mike to do.
So
you'll also find that the volume of votes in both campuses is very, 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 very low.
Right.
And I bet you find anything that most of the voters are indeed the Ed Waters College one is right smack dab in an area where right down the street, like a block, two blocks away and across the street are a lot of housing that contain housing for the elderly and the disabled. They're being able to come over and early vote instead of everybody cramming in and trying to get there on election day. I think those are the voters you're seeing. It's a very low vote count.
And as far as students are concerned.
It's very low vote counts. Period.
Okay.
Very, very low volume. And then when you go to UNF, it's a slightly higher volume, but I think you will find that there are very few students. I think the faculty may be taking advantage of it, but certainly the community. If you drive down, it's right off of Kernan Boulevard. It's actually at Herbert Center. It's not in the middle of the campus. So as you drive down Kernan, you see vote here, vote here, vote here. I think it's the community, surrounding community, that's voting there.
And you know, this goes back to even my time and also Mike's. I think it was 2012. Whatever number of early voting sites you had, you must never go below that. And I think it's 18 for Duval County. And so even with the two and even with the 18, we have more early voting sites per capita than any other county in the state of Florida.
Okay, you hear the music. We're going to take a break. I'm going to make an executive decision when we get back. We're going to hunt and peck through the other candidates. And then if we catch up with enough time, we'll go back to the ones that we missed. But obviously, there's some no-brainers in here. Yeah. You might just pass over those right off the bat. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can, facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Riche Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Riche Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Riche Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Riche Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Riche Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Riche Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. bankonyourself.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Now through Sunday, November 11th, enjoy the Greater Jacksonville Agricultural Fair at the fairgrounds near TIAA Bank Field. Check online for daily hours and activities. Wednesday, November 7th, from 5 to 9 p.m., it's the First Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. And Saturday, November 10th, at 5:30 p.m., it's the Artrageous Art Walk on Center Street in downtown Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hi, folks. This is Martin Parlato, and I host the Lighthouse Retirement Hour right here in Jacksonville, WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. Parts 1 and 2 Saturdays at noon, and again Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m. Look, the annuity guys and the senior this or the senior that are out in force, and they're trying to separate you from your money. We don't sell index annuities, and we don't sell fear. Head over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Click the blue button to make an appointment with me, and then I can help you.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey,
hey, hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. You guys, I swear you guys would pay if you could just get a live feed of what goes on in the breaks. But Jerry Holland joining me here in the studio along with Karen Morton, making an executive decision. We're skipping over people like John Rutherford and going straight to, and not skipping over for any bad reason. It's just because it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Virginia Fuller.
Yeah.
CD5. Yeah. A little background on that?
She was a nurse, I believe. She lives in the Tallahassee area. She was, I guess she had also lived in California for some time. Tried to open up a business, found the challenges to opening a new small business and all of the regulations, so on and so forth, to be very, very, very difficult, and decided that she wanted to do something about it. So she decided to run for office and apparently picked the congressional race for her first shot.
Why not start there?
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
you know, because
anybody
yeah,
can be president.
Great.
That's
yes, yes, yes.
Well, a nice young lady, so
very, yes,
running
indeed.
On the Republican
she
ticket.
She is the Republican on the ballot, and certainly, you know, I mean, she's running against Al Lawson. Obviously, the demographics in the district are
exactly.
definitely against her. I mean, we've had some really good people running in that same district in the past. We've had Glow Smith. And we've had former Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll.
Sure did.
She couldn't win it.
But now
I mean,
the district is
you know,
in a different
a
direction.
Really, it's in a different no. direction, but the numbers haven't changed dramatically.
All right, let's no. go.
It's
let's,
a Democrat.
Let's yeah. go past that up. Highly contentious race now, replacing Pam Bondi. Wonderful lady. Got a chance to spend
She's
some time
amazing.
With her. And
Qualified.
I've just never seen someone who sets themselves apart with their experience, mm-hmm. both as a prosecutor and a judge.
Right.
Just an amazing quality.
You know, yes.
Forget the party. I'm just talking, you know, if people would just look at people's qualifications mm-hmm. and not even look at the party, mm-hmm. this lady would hands down be the most qualified.
And I can tell you, she is an amazing worker. I mean, that woman moves. She gets things done. You'd swear she was a Northerner because she talks a way lot faster than I do. But it's amazing. But a constitutionalist, this lady, I don't care what you ask her. She knows it in depth. She's incredible.
Ashley.
She's incredible.
Ashley Moody,
Judge Ashley Moody, running for Attorney General. Amazing.
And has another gentleman who is a trial lawyer but has never prosecuted a case.
And who swears that his first official act as Attorney General would be to file several lawsuits against President Trump.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a socialist, flat out. Wants to bring a lot of gun control to the
it
state
seems
of Florida.
Like we have a
it's
lot,
a disaster for Florida. Disaster.
We have a lot of opposites this, on the ticket.
This election, I think, especially on a state level, right. I've never seen such polarized differences in the candidates, in many of them, not Here's, just the governor right. or the senator. It's across the board. It's really one extreme and the mm-hmm. other.
Here's one that's not...
clear contrast, for sure.
Yes, there is no...
Do you want
they
patriotism?
Both seem moderate. No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you go to the polls and you go, well, I can't really tell the difference between one and the other.
That
can't
is not what you clear. Do in this one.
That's right.
Matt Caldwell, someone we know,
ran
statewide for Commissioner of Agriculture, mm-hmm. Got through the primary, now in the general, and his opposition is South Florida ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a pretty widespread advertising campaign. I guess what I got a message through Facebook specific to Matt Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
Has he done anything to hurt us in North Florida? Do we have new regulations on anything relative to agriculture? And really, do we have agriculture in
we
North
do.
Florida?
We do.
We have a lot of agriculture,
I just went to the cattleman's dinner the other night, Friday night, mm-hmm. and yes, we don't have as much, the number of acres that we have, but we still have a cattle industry. We still have some other things. And also, there's still greenbelt. We still do a lot of silviculture mm-hmm. on trees and bees and things like that. So we do have very concerned citizens that are involved in the agricultural industry.
But people need to understand that it is actually the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
That's where they'll get
that's
you, because that's
where
the one
it
even
is.
Sets the pumps for the gas pumps.
Yes, yes.
Sure
anything that is regulated, any measurement that is regulated in the state of Florida is regulated by this office. They whether it's this could be the scales at Publix.
Exactly.
When you go to measure, did I get a whole pound of grapes or apples? Anything that measures anything.
All right, so
that's covered.
Now, at one time, I did not know this, but at one time, a vote for governor was not necessarily a vote for the lieutenant governor on the ticket.
You could vote for either. You could
either
vote
one.
For the lieutenant by itself.
Now that is no longer the case. Now it's a ticket. So the lieutenant governor, Jeanette Nunez, really nice, personable young lady, but you get her with Ron DeSantis, mm-hmm. and once again, another situation where I've been asked a few times, what has she done to hurt us? Nothing really.
She's sharp, too. A very, very, very nice, accommodating, wonderful to talk with. Funny. She's great, but she's also very intelligent. She knows her way around. Speaker, House Speaker. She's smart.
CFO Jimmy Patronis, first
appointed by the governor.
By the governor. First,
exactly.
First time he's running.
Correct.
For election.
For this office.
For this office. His control as CFO would be basically the regulatory effects of the administrative offices
mm-hmm.
of the state of Florida. Not a big job. Just kind of keeping the governor in check on what he's spending, not necessarily what someone in South Florida, in the legislature, the Senate, or the House can approve their own expenditures. It's separate and apart from the executive branch. So kind of a I don't want to put the spat on Jimmy Patronis because I met him last night, but kind of a figurehead office, maybe?
No. The bookkeeping, if you will, the analysis of the expenditures, all of that. In addition, there are other duties to the CFO, like being the state fire chief, for example, and regulating all of the fire departments and the legislative process that is affected by
we know what you mean.
Yeah, anyway, there's a whole lot of duties there. It's a big deal. And remember that he is one of the five people who
makes up the cabinet.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that, you know, this makes an interesting term, too, whether you get a mix of different parties this time through this election and how difficult, you know, when you one good and bad on all the party being the same is typically they move with the same agenda.
Right.
Now, you know, here's something that came up that people are always looking for fallbacks and safe positions. And it looks like we will keep the Senate in the state of Florida, Republican, conservative. Mm-hmm. It's not a shoe-in, but it certainly does look like we will keep the House of Representatives.
I certainly think so.
And so I had someone come up to me and say, oh, there's really nothing to worry about, even if Ron DeSantis doesn't win, because the legislature will keep a check and balance and control over Gillum if he happens to take Tallahassee. I don't want to play that card.
No.
Well, and the thing that makes it, you may easily say, yes, it keeps all in balance, but we also don't move ahead.
Right.
That's the
problem.
It's
stagnant
government. And then you've also can, when you get that mix, you get someone who's the power of the veto pen becomes very powerful to try to get what they want. And what we may very well see is, as far as, may very well be spending most of that next term running for another office.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
You know, so
plus the executive orders to administrative functions and remember, all you need is a pen, according to Barack Obama, and Andrew Gillum is definitely well versed in everything Barack Obama.
All right, so I got one more guy to go through before this break.
That's why you want the Attorney General also because at least the Attorney General is looking at it from a legal standpoint.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, one more guy on this break, and then the final guys in the next break after this. Jim Overton, guy we know really well, running for local tax collector here in town. Mm-hmm. Good guy, been in city government for a while. As far as I know, hasn't hurt us.
Well, and also, I've served on a city council with both of these opponents, both Mia Jones and Jim, and also having the ability to follow him in the office I'm in now. He was previous property appraiser for 12 years, so I really have a good sense for his administrative abilities and what he's been able to accomplish there. But what's really interesting is, and even talking to Jim, it's the dynamics of the turnout in this election, which means, you know, how many more Democrats and minority voters that would help, obviously, Mia Jones, support. And it's very possible, and he knows this too, that Mia could actually win in November and lose in March. They're only running to serve till June 30th of next year.
Right.
They have to run again next March for the next 4 years.
Right.
And the dynamics of the election, she could possibly win in November.
So save your yard signs.
And turn right back around.
Yes.
Save your yard signs and your bumper stickers. Well, you might need them again in the future.
But the other thing is, this momentum that the Democrats are showing here in Duval County because of the push, the national push, to turn Duval, hopefully, to take over Florida. And the reason for that is to be able to have control of Florida for the 2020 presidential campaign. That's what this is all about. And so when you saw that huge movement of people coming in and really, really taking a hand on the Democrat Party here in this county, it wasn't for the Democrats per se. It was specifically for Gillum.
And mind you also, even going back to 2008, Duval County, Jacksonville, was the largest county that went Republican.
Yeah.
The counties larger than us went blue.
That's right.
So
that's right.
If you can tilt this, it tilts the state.
That's right. That is why, they've said it flat out. That's why they're here in Duval. That's what they're trying to do is turn Duval.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they won't be able
to do that. That's why it's so important. If you don't get out to the polls and vote, I do not ever want to hear about it. I don't come and talk to me. Don't give me any excuses about how I couldn't vote, I forgot to vote. No, you vote. You get everybody that you know to go vote. You put them in the trunk and take them to the polls.
You tell them, Karen.
All right, Karen. You got to take a chill pill for a second.
No,
you're
no.
listening
it's
to
not
I'm
time
speaking
for
plainly.
A chill pill.
I'm your host, Bill Hay. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes more on the statewide elections coming up when we get get back. If you'd like to call us, you can. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump is not trying to hide what brought him to the Montana on Saturday, campaigning against John Tester. Mr. Trump blaming the Democratic senator for the defeat of his nominee to run the Department of Veterans Affairs. The president was in Montana today to boost GOP Senate candidate Matt Rosendale, who's challenging Tester in Tuesday's election. Tonight, the president is in Pensacola, Florida, campaigning for Governor Rick Scott, who's running for Senate, and for Ron DeSantis, who is running to fill Scott's seat in the governor's mansion. The man who shot and killed two people in a Tallahassee yoga studio appears to have made a series of racist and misogynist videos 4 years ago. Police say the videos were posted to the internet in 2014. Two people were shot. Several other people were injured in that attack before the gunman turned the weapon on himself. This is SRN News.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Does rainy weather make you nervous? Alliant Roofing says that it's time to think about a new roof. Get repairs done or ask about a roof tune-up. Once water seeps into the roof, you have a great chance of costly repairs and mold leading to health issues. Mason Fleming and Alliant Roofing has over 30 years of experience specializing in commercial and residential type roof systems. Call for a free estimate at 237-4700 or 721-7663. Alliant Roofing, Florida State Certified Roofing License CCC 132-8560. Florida State Certified Builder's License CBC 125-7928.
Holiday season is busy enough. Leave the cooking to the Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The Original Cronus Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The Original Tunis Restaurant can cater any occasion. 317-9300. Talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask Z how your church or civic group can use the Original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
To ensure your vehicle's maintenance and repairs are done properly and at a fair price, call Stewart Automotive Repair. This family-owned operation is an official NAPA Auto Care Center with ASC-certified mechanics that have the know-how to diagnose and repair almost any foreign or domestic vehicle that comes their way. Stewart Automotive Repair. Great people. Great service. Located behind the Circle K store at Beach and Hodges. Call 992-6868. Online at stewardautomotiverepair.com. That's stewardautomotiverepair.com.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
It's coming up on 8:34 Eastern Daylight Time. Southbound on the 295 West Beltway, the two right lanes are shut down for planned construction just after Old St. Augustine Road. Gate Parkway is congested in both directions from Butler Boulevard all the way to Belford Road. Clear tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, increase in clouds, upper 70s. Monday, a 50% rain chance and a high of 80. Right now, it's clear in Jacksonville, 62 degrees at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to this special kind of straight down the middle edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. No Bill going off on a tangent. No vein popping tonight. We're just talking
about. Thank you, Bill. Yes, thank you. It's difficult
to sit here, especially across from you and not pop a vein. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I know. Life is difficult.
Aaron Bean.
Can I say one thing before we get to that? Because we were starting to get into something right before the break. No. This is important. We were talking about Democrat votes and all of these things. You know, We do in Duval County, which is one of the reasons we win. We do have conservative Democrats. They've been Democrats for generations. They're not changing their ballot, their registration, but they vote often Republican.
And let me tell you, that's why I don't try to demonize
it. Exactly.
And because there are people who've been Democrat. I was a Democrat at one time. Mm-hmm. I know that makes sense.
Everybody in the county was a Democrat.
That's the only way you could vote. But yeah. But there are good Democrats that vote conservatively and look at the people and makes good, sound decisions. Right. So I hate it to see any party demonize some other party. They're Americans just like we're Americans.
Exactly. And the rank and file Democrats is not – when you hear people really going against, you know, the Democrats do this, they're not talking about the rank and file. We're talking about the leadership that's just gone berserk over there. I mean, they're just nutcase all, way over the west side, left side, way socialism. But here's the other important issue. One of the things that we've been seeing, I've been hearing about it in the polling places is – again, these people, there's a lot of people who are not socialists. They're Democrats. They believe in America. They want the economy to be good. They want things to be great for their families. They don't want socialism. But there are people outside the polling places that are asking them to take, you know, like we want to make sure, take a picture of your ballot and show us that photo when you come out. And they are afraid to not vote for Gillum. And that's what's happening here. They're being intimidated right outside the 100-foot cone. And then they think, oh, my God, well, if I don't show them the picture, they will automatically assume that I didn't vote for Gillum.
Wait a minute. When did it become legal to take a picture inside a polling place?
It's not.
They're very quick with that camera. But the poll workers and the staff there needs to make sure they keep the cameras in their pocket. I don't know how many times I used to see on Facebook and someone says, and I voted, and they show their picture. And I said, you know, you're violating a statute
there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right, so let's get down the ballot real quick.
But if you see this, report it. Call the Republican Party, 396-4233.
What's that going to do? The vote's already
in. We can stop these people from out there intimidating.
Because they're really intimidating people. Yeah. And I don't care how they vote, but they shouldn't be pressured to show how they voted.
Exactly, you know? It's a secret ballot. There's a reason for that. Yeah.
Well, the next time this comes up, mm-hmm. for example, with the city elections in March, maybe we ought to start talking about it the third week in January.
Well, you know what? That's a good idea.
That is.
Instead of waiting until 3 nights before on the radio station.
That's a good idea. And I'm just starting to hear that this is a big push now.
All right. So Aaron Bean, that's a no-brainer. That's a shoe-in. Aaron's locked.
His opponent is interesting.
But I'll say this. You know, and you've got to give Democrats credit where credit's due. They have gotten someone in every race, and that was the goal of theirs, and their chairperson was, that's like even as we were talking about the race for the congressional seat, mm-hmm. and where we may put a Republican or have a Republican run and encourage them, it's about getting your issues out, and that's the part of what this country is supposed to be about, hearing from both sides. So even though a district is wasteland Republican or Democrat— I admire when someone else runs at least to give their side to the voters and give an option. You know, I'm 100% behind Aaron, but from a standpoint, listen, you know, they at least can voice their sides and their chairperson got people out.
We literally did try to get somebody on the ballot for – we have a couple of offices where that's not correct, a soil and water and a school board. And
some of the legislative seats, the state house, you know, like – the ones in the minority seats.
We didn't
get Republicans, but yet the Democrats got Democrats in every one of the seats.
Yes, because we went through a ton of people, and none of the Republicans wanted to take the time and the money in order to do that. They're going, man, you know, I no.
All right, so
we did try.
I know you did.
We did try.
So Bean, Byrd, Yarborough, Fisher, pretty confident that Wednesday morning I'm going to wake up and those guys are shoo-in.
Yep, as long as everybody votes.
The one I'm concerned with, Wyman Duggan.
That district is pretty close to 50-50.
And it's in play.
Yeah. And it's in
their
play.
TV commercials are interesting. Tracy Paulson outlines, you know, she makes some pretty broad sweeping accusations as to some of the statements that have been made against her. Mm-hmm. There's no real retaliation there. What do we know about these candidates? The possibility is that Tracy doesn't win against
Wyman.
Then she throws her hat on the Democratic ticket in for mayor.
Mayor.
I don't
city
think
council.
So. If she doesn't win, I think she'll come back. I mean, she has definitely got the political bug.
Yes.
I think she's one of those you'll see again. I tell people that you can see races where someone's cultivating, you know, the climate to run again.
Right.
Even in soil, water, and conservation, we see that often.
Right.
That they run and they have somewhat of a passion, but they really want to run for something else.
Well, and I do believe that if she does not win that state rep race, she's going to run for city council in March. And I believe that's why you will find that on her signs, it doesn't say Tracy Paulson for state house. It just says Tracy Paulson, Democrat.
But I'm telling you, she's very, very effective commercials.
Yep,
I've got to give credit to that, you know, from a standpoint of, and you know what's sad? Here's the politics world that just frustrates me. I was telling students the other day, when you run in politics, it's the only job I know of, if we were both running, mm-hmm. is that the nature is not to say why I should be elected because
right.
I can do all this, but
right.
why are you so bad?
Right.
And that's just a shame that's what politics is about. It's not about
that's
why
exactly
I'm so
right.
good, but how the other person is so bad.
Do you know, I was speaking to someone the other day when we were talking about this same exact subject, and that is there's more money spent on opposition research than there is on candidate promotion.
Yeah.
So
and that's a shame. I think if a candidate would ever just drop back and their consultants would let them think for themselves for 2 seconds and say, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you what I can do for you.
Yes.
This is why I want to run. And this is why it will make a difference for you and your family. That person will win.
I met a young lady who's running for city council. She's got a 3-part name. I apologize that I don't remember her. She was speaking with you last night. And her main take of the conversation that we were having is that she wasn't going to throw mud until someone threw mud at her.
Well, she won't have to wait long.
Yeah. No, that's the truth.
That's a no-brainer.
And, you know, there's a different thing where you're defending. I'm not saying you don't do the side-by-side, you know, where it looks like,
sure.
here's my experience and those
sure.
kind of things. And if it's negative, it's negative. You know, there's a truth-telling. There's one thing. But I've seen such a distortion of the truth. That's
yes.
another thing.
Yes.
You know, as they always say, if it's half true, then it means it's half lie.
Absolutely.
You know?
There was a campaign against Ashley Moody in the primary.
Oh.
And the guy that was throwing out that absolute garbage, we confronted him at a Florida state party convention and said, what the heck? What are you doing? This is a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. And he looked right at this group of about 20 people and said, yeah, well, maybe, but it's legal, and walked away.
Yeah.
Well, and on top of that, I have to take issue with it. She did not sue President Trump, but she sued someone that was using President Trump's name with his permission.
Well, it had to do with the land deal, development deal,
right.
her family. It was not him personally.
Right.
It was about they were supposed to develop. I asked her that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and at a fundraiser.
Yep.
And apparently yep. President Trump, before he was President Trump, would allow people to license his name on developments, but he had
exactly.
nothing to do with the development.
Exactly.
He had no money involved in the development, but his name was on the development.
Right.
Now, you know as well as I do that any ambulance chaser out there
right.
is going to throw 15 or 20 fishing rods in the water and see which
and
one gets
exactly
a bite.
And that's exactly what happened.
And that's exactly what
yep.
Ashley did. So in all reality, his lie was a misleading.
It was such a distortion that it was just... It was a lot.
Well, if you start out, do you want to like someone who has sued the president?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're thinking, geez, sued over immigration or
yeah.
sued over this
yeah.
or sued over, the,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't tell you the rest of the story.
Did not even
you know?
Let's go to line one real quick and bring up a caller. Good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly. This is Matthew, I guess. Hello?
Yes, Bill, I got to tell you, what you were just talking about is spot on. My wife and I just watched Death of a Nation by Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
And we watched the that portion from Mein Kampf tell a big enough lie Tell it long enough,
yes,
and people will believe.
That's right.
And
absolutely,
that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
Hey, if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Spend enough money, put it out there enough, and blah, 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 and the sheep will follow.
Matthew,
but the other,
Matthew, hang on a second. I'm going to put you back on hold, Matthew. I haven't cut you off. I'm putting you back on hold. We're going to get back to you right after this next commercial break. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, we're going to be taking just a break for a second and listen to these messages and join us on the backside, won't you?
Whether it's lunch or dinner, on the go, or if you want to dine in, Hangar Bay Cafe at 2294 Mayport Road is for you. Hangar Bay is open 7 days a week for lunch or dinner and is famous for their Japanese ramen. A regular ramen bowl with two pieces of chicken and drink starts at just $13. In the mood for something traditional? Hangar Bay has fried chicken better than your mama's. Hangar Bay made the list of the best fried chicken in all 50 states based on Yelp data. Seafood like shrimp and fish with grits, and sandwiches that are unique, like bourbon teriyaki pulled pork, spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. Hangar Bay is a veteran-owned restaurant with a Navy theme and variety. Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. Dine in, take out, and ask about catering. Online at hangarbaycafe.com.
It's time to start planning your 2018 Christmas party, and the Salem Center is the perfect location. We have an auditorium that can be decorated beautifully, and we can host your get-together for as few as 20 people or as many as 400. Plus, the Salem Center has that wow factor you will want for your holiday party. A sit-down lunch or dinner? Yes, we can do that. A mix-and-mingle event? Yep, we can do that too. An auditorium-style Christmas program? Of course, we can do it all. And also, with a memorable style at a price point that is very reasonable. So give us a call now. We have space available, but we are filling up very quickly. The number, 861-0440. That's 861-0440. Ask for our hospitality directors, Angie or Beverly. Call now, 861-0440. Again, that's 861-0440. Ask for Angie or Beverly. 861-0440. That's 861-0440.
My name is James, and I'm in the Life Builders program at City Rescue Mission. I grew up in foster care system, and I realized I had a depression even as a kid. I thought once I was adopted, my depression would go away, but even after I was adopted, at 16, I was still struggling with depression. I stopped going to church, and my life started falling apart. I found myself homeless and needing help. I tried other shelters, but they didn't feel right for me. When I got to City Rescue Mission, I felt like it was where God wanted me to be. Since I've been in the program, I've read the Bible more than I have in my entire life. I've grown closer to God, and He has shown me a lot. I have a better perspective on life now, and I hope for a future. I've learned you can make your own family, and I feel like I have found a family here at CRM.
I'm Penny Keevitt, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back. To boy, you guys just scurry around. Jerry's all red over here. What were you guys talking about?
No, here's my thing. If you write something negative to the to someone on their Facebook page, it's called friends. So if you're going to be negative to me, then you're not my friend.
Good point.
Will unfriend you, okay?
There you go.
I respect you if you can have a respectful conversation.
Right.
But if you're going to do something negative to me, then you're not my friend.
Exactly.
Go find another friend.
There you go.
As I have always said over and over again, the delete key will set you free. So anyway, let me go back and keep a promise to Michael. Michael, are you still there?
Still here.
Matthew. Not Michael. Matthew. All right. So we got a bunch of lines going. Going to try and get everybody out before the next 9 minutes. So, Matthew, your last point,
sir. No, I just wanted to say I loved what you were talking about with your grandfather taking you to the poll on the day of election. Hey, I have no problem with early voting. I think that's fantastic if you, you know, need to go that route. But, well, my wife kind of forced me to say, well, we're going Tuesday. We know our precinct. We know the people. And we're going to go.
Okay.
And
that's nice.
And I like that.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. I appreciate your call tonight.
You bet, buddy.
Thanks. Good guy. Called many times. Paul says free lunch for Bill. I'm not even putting you on the air, Paul. So anyway, the all right.
Well, could be a good deal.
All right,
free
Paul,
lunch.
Go ahead. My guests want to talk to you.
Hey, Paul.
Bill, next Saturday, are you doing a live show?
I am.
Okay. 1 week from tonight, you and Karen will be talking about Governor-elect Andrew Gillum.
No, we won't.
No, wait a minute. Hold on, Karen. Here's why I say that. It's he will win because of the Obama effect, specifically white guilt. He will be elected. Now, hold on. If I am wrong, I will buy you lunch at Golden Corral.
I'll take that, but do I have to eat with Karen?
Deal.
Paul,
hey,
I will take that bet.
Hey, we're all going to be there, Paul. Come on now. Jerry gets to go,
all
too.
Three of us. We got to get everybody.
You know, this is a legitimate offer because your engineer, Tom Murphy, he knows who I am. We are acquainted with each other.
Tom's
and,
fault.
And Tom, blame and I, it on Tom. Tom and I eat at the trough on a regular basis.
You,
so, yeah.
You make fun of me when I go to the Golden Corral.
You go there and spend five. This is not made up, Jerry.
It was Thanksgiving and we were talking.
I was in the air in Orlando. I had to fly from Orlando to Jacksonville. I had to put the aircraft away. I still made it to Golden Corral. They were there for 5.5 hours. 5.5 hours.
We talked a lot.
It's called grazing. It's not.
It
called
is grazing.
Eating.
That's what he told me.
So, Paul, thank you, and we'll take that bet. I hope that it's a bet that we lose.
Really?
I truly do. I can't imagine the state of Florida stagnant for 4 years, and I think it would only be 4 years. The people of the state of Florida would get tired of it after a fact.
I can't imagine that they really truly in the back of every fiber of my being cannot believe that the state of Florida will allow socialism to take even a slight hold in our leadership. I can't even begin to imagine it.
All right, so before we wrap up, I'm going to go back on this push again and ask everyone, if you have not voted, if you haven't voted, you know, if you didn't vote for Trump or you didn't vote in the presidential election, but you find a reason to vote now, this is it. This is the last minute. This is like they used to say on PBS, we need to get your donations, because if we don't get your donations, you won't see Julia Childs next season.
Right.
We'll be off the air. But no, technically, if some of these races go against us, against the Conservative Party, we will be off the air in Florida for four years.
That's right.
At least.
And I'll tell you, those of you who voted for President Trump, those of you who vote the presidential years but skip the midterms, if you vote the presidential years, trust me, your president needs you to vote. Because if we do not manage to get our Republicans in place, not only at state level, but Rick Scott at the federal level, there's a real possibility that the president's agenda will come to a screeching halt.
You're right.
We have got to win. Do not stay home. If you vote in the presidential elections, get to the polls. Early voting is open tomorrow. People don't realize
nothing.
Sunday.
It costs nothing
exactly.
But a little bit of your time. And let me say something else from a personal note. We are having so many groups invading our state, our city, our county, and they are intimidating people like we were talking about in the last segment. They are making up silly rules and restrictions.
Yep.
One of which that's come up at least a half a dozen times that I have seen on reputable news services, and that is the wearing of a MAGA hat to a early voting site.
You can wear anything you want as long as you're wearing it. They can't make you take it off.
It cannot promote a candidate that is up for election.
Yes, it can. If you're wearing it.
Yes, it can.
If it's part of your apparel.
The voter can wear it on their apparel. The poll worker and the poll watcher cannot wear any apparel that promotes a candidate.
Right.
But you're, if you're going in and you've got vote for Scott or Gillum, whoever you want to put, and you want to wear that in, you're allowed to wear
now,
that.
Now, see, this is where we have a big problem in our state. And I'm playing devil's advocate here, because when this came up on the news today during the noon show, there was a representative from the state elections office in Tallahassee who said that as long as it did not have the name of a current candidate on it, there was no prohibition.
Somebody needs to find out who that person is and correct
that. See, that's the thing.
That's not true. Yeah.
When they go on a network-affiliated news show and they broadcast that.
Not true.
Well, you know, okay, if you're not going to wear a Rick Scott shirt, you know, try not to kick the dog if it's sleeping. But I can tell you this, I am going to go out of my way to wear my actual real signed by the president MAGA. I got it at the landing that day.
Oh, I got it
at the landing when he was standing in front of me. And here's the thing with President Trump, and I respect him and I admire him, and I want him to have another term and to do everything on his agenda. But I took a quote from someone who early on said, if you want to guarantee that you'll get an autograph, stand by the most beautiful girl in the receiving aisle. And I did.
And you were next to Karen, weren't you?
No.
Thank you, Jerry, but...
There's an area of the landing where his limousines and his Escalades were there. And there was this wonderful-looking young lady who was absolutely model material. And he came right over to her. He stood with her. He took a photograph with her. He signed her shirt. And I said...
You thought you were her father.
Wow. Really, Jerry?
I could have said grandfather, okay?
Yeah, there we go.
Last time I'm on the show, right?
Well,
that is so terribly wrong. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
That was funny.
But just remember, I believe in multiplicative retribution.
Yes.
This is the last wrap for this show until Tuesday. It'll be over. The fat lady will have sung.
That is correct.
And we will be right into it, getting ready for the city elections. You'll be hot and heavy in for the city elections coming up in March.
We turn right around the next day. We play around a little bit with any issues after the ballots are initially counted, but then we move right on into the city elections. Absolutely.
Is that going to be smooth, you think?
I've never seen an election that's smooth. I can't even remember when
I don't know, Jerry. Are you seeing any – is there going to be any vitriol – any nastiness that you can see really?
Oh, coming up in the spring elections?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
I mean, I don't think you're going to see, I don't anticipate upsets, but there's always the challenge of, I think one is the Democrats also will have a Democrat in every race.
Right.
I mean, I think they've been very committed to that.
Right.
And so you'll get issues out there and things challenged, and you know, every candidate wants to be unopposed. Every mayor wants to be, but there'll be opposition. And I don't just mean the people who just barely qualify or something, but I mean there'll be serious opposition.
And I'm speaking for myself now, not for Jerry or Karen, but pay close attention to the candidates that the current administration is supporting and promoting, because the candidates for city council is what I'm saying. When we get to that city election time, pay close attention to those, because those are the folks that he's grooming for the Build-A-Bear City Council that will ultimately probably give him the go-ahead on the sale of JEA. So if you're not in favor of that, you know, vote against the candidates that are being supported.
But right now, go to the polls.
And vote.
And vote Republican.
Vote Republican.
Early
Republican.
Vote till 6 p.m. tomorrow. Election day, 7 to 7.
And remember this, Bill said, and it doesn't cost you anything to vote, and that's correct.
Right.
But a lot of people paid a price for us to have that right.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason we should go to the polls.
No truer words have been spoken. And so with that, we will say goodnight. So for Jerry Holland and Karen Morton and myself, next time you hear my voice, it will be to report on this coming election. Get out and vote, please. Please take that opportunity to go vote. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll see you next